Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We are so grateful for everything you did through the cross. Lord, there's people in here who don't know your love, and I'm asking for every opportunity, for every wall that's been built to come down tonight so that they can see you and meet you and understand your goodness. There are some of us that are bound, broken, deceived, and heading towards shipwreck. And God is extending his hand tonight. You don't earn it. We don't deserve it. He does that because he loves us. And if that's you, if you're struggling tonight, just quietly reach your hand. Lord, I need your help tonight. I don't know what the problem is, but would you meet me where I'm at? You say that prayer. You don't have to shout it. If you want to shout it, shout it. But this is between you and him. And he is the God that answers. He is the God that delivers. He is the God that can raise people from the dead. He can raise dreams from the dead. He can raise anything he wants because he himself was the seed for being raised from the dead. He's the original. There's no copycat. He's the one and only. He's the real deal. And for too long, the church has watered down the gospel message of how good he is and what he really did. It's not about works. It's not about raising your hand or not raising your hand. It's about accepting him as your Savior, accepting him as Lord Jesus Christ, admitting that you can't make it on your own and that you need him to bring you out of the pit of hell and back into the kingdom of light. See, because you were lied to. You were lied to. You bought into the deception, and deception got a hold of you and dragged you into captivity and is trying to keep you there. But God has given you free will. He's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And all you got to do is say, I think I do. And he responds instantly to the cry of your heart. But if you say, yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know about this Christianity. I don't know about this Jesus thing. You will stay where you're at. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. He's already laid out his promises. He's giving everything. And he's saying, will you come and dine with me at the table? Or do you want to continue to eat with the pigs and take the scraps and the leftovers and smell like sewage? Now, I know this is a little tough, but you know what? We got to go with the Holy Ghost. And right now, he's saving souls. He's bringing people out of captivity. I love that. I love how good he is. Do you remember the day that he brought you out of captivity? Can do the dance. That's good news. He is the Savior. There's only one. Don't get fooled with the imitation. Don't get caught up in the copycats. There's a scripture that says, his sheep know his voice. That means he's talking to you right now. He has some good news for you. He has equipping that's taking place if you'll say yes. Are you struggling in an area tonight? Do you need a little equipping? Or are we too proud to say, yeah, I need help? I don't know about you, but I need help every day. Where did lie come from that everything's perfect? Oh, we're saved, so everything's perfect. No, we are being transformed. We are being renewed daily in him. And we have to stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to equip us. He sent to lead and guide us in all truth. And right now, he's leading and guiding us in all truth. Now, I was praying this week, and I was asking the Lord some questions, because I've been praying with a couple people and seeing some struggles, and I don't like struggles. I like victory, and so I'm praying, and I'm asking him for keys, and he actually gave me a teaching tonight, and I really feel like it's going to bless anybody who will listen to it. And so sometimes we're like, well, I heard that before. I don't want to hear it again. But, you know, are you the same you were yesterday, or are you a little freer or a little more bound? Because we go back and forth, if we're honest. Well, I want freedom. And so I'm asking the Lord to open our eyes and our ears to understanding so that we can walk in the fullness and victory. And so I was talking to him, and the other day he was talking to me about ownership versus stewardship, which eventually leads to rulership. Now, I'm going to just jump to the end of the rulership part. Holly did a wonderful teaching on rulership. It's on the website. It's free. Click in the little search bar, rulership. It's called Kingdom Rulership. It'll help you grow and develop the giftings that God has put in you and understand the revelation that comes from that. So when I see struggles in my own life, usually when I'm struggling, there's a reason. And it's usually I'm thinking wrong, or I'm not spending enough time in Him, or I'm just not getting it for some reason. And that can happen to me multiple times in a day. It doesn't, you know, I don't know why we think that once saved we're perfect. You mean we are made in the image of God, but there's this flesh that we drag along that, you know, tries to take over sometimes, and we have to learn to subdue the flesh. And so I've been praying about this, and I think we all come from a fallen background, you know, the fallen world, the earth curse system. It's a failed system. Does everybody agree with that? Okay, and so, you know, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so in the process of that, we have to renew our thinking. We have to understand that some of the stuff that we were doing, maybe they're habits, maybe they're false belief systems, or maybe that's the way we were taught, that that it's the way. But if it's the way and we are you know, hitting our head, like, I'm stuck, chances are that's an opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on here? I can't hear. I don't understand. And when I've been praying this week, one thing that I felt like the Lord wanted to share is we all kind of come from ownership. You know, self-made person, let me do it my way. I don't trust people. You know, I'm talking about my old broken life before I met Jesus, and then redeemed and learning to come out of that and those ways of thinking. And so ownership, when we're in ownership mode, it becomes our responsibility. It's my burden. And the Lord gave me a picture today of two kids in a sandbox playing and fighting over a toy. You know, it's mine. You know, and you can't take it from me. That is ownership. And that also leads to bondage. And it's part of the fallen nature. But because many are raised up in that, we think it's okay. And we think we're supposed to own the world. And we get confused in some of this. And so I want to share a couple things that I think will help us. Now, the difference between ownership and stewardship. Stewardship, we're looking up. We're looking to the King of Kings. Now, ownership, we're looking and focusing. I got this issue. I got to figure out. Stewardship, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. And I'm going to go through some scriptures, and I want to talk about a couple things. Number one, God owns everything. Can we agree on that? And we get to manage it for Him. The management of these God-given resources is called stewardship. And so when we're given gifts, we're also given responsibility with the gifts. And if you think about the parable of the talents, you know, those were gifts. You know, God gives us gifts, even like teaching gifts and all that. The measure we're used is actually measured back to us. And you can also apply this to seed, time, and harvest in the kingdom system. So the more that you exercise stewardship, the greater steward you become. But remember, he's always the master. We are always putty in His hand, so to speak. You know, and so we're also representatives of the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors of Christ. So we have authority that God is trying to get us to walk in and speak to rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven, to bring heaven into the earth. And so with the gifts, there's responsibility. Responsible stewardship is often involved with delayed gratification. That's a tough one sometimes. You know, and he gave me, he said, remember seed time harvest? And I'm like, yeah, seed time harvest. You know, we always want the harvest. But delayed gratification is actually a spiritual muscle to help us walk in greater stewardship. And so I'm going to pause there for a second, because God is trying to get us to understand that everything he has, he owns, and we get to be the resource. We get to be the steward, the manager of it all. And so here's something for you. All the resources in the natural, they're limited. There's a limitation in the natural because it's attached to the earth curse system. But in God's kingdom, he has no limits. He guides with wisdom and his law. There's law attached to his wisdom. And it's for the protection of his children. And so I'm going to just share a couple things about what the Bible says about his resources. The Bible gives us many verses that talks about the resources and how we get to manage them for God. And so here's one: the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. So for those of you who don't think, well, I don't know if God wants me to steward or be a steward, he does. He does. He does. Behold, I give you authority to trample over every work of darkness. Scripture. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is your hand to make great and to give strength to all. So all the power is in him, but he hands it over to us, and he gives us the ability through him to manage over everything. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him, there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. What I love about him is there's no favoritism. You know, really, it's for whoever so will believe what he says, you shall have all things. And so if you're not educated, maybe you didn't go to the right school, or maybe you didn't go to the right church, or maybe you didn't dress the right way, doesn't matter. He says, come as children. Come as children. Here's one. His master said to him, this is Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful. Now, you might not like this translation. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. So sometimes when people say, I'm not a slave, I'm not into that slavery stuff, I just want to tell you that God owns you. And let him possess you. Because it's good. You know, we attach certain words with, earthly stuff, and it doesn't really mean what God says it means. You know, I am a slave to Christ. Whatever he says or does, I want to do it. If he tells me, you know, to walk out this room, I am going out that door. I will do whatever he says. But was it always like that? Nope. No, because there's this thing called trust and building a relationship with him. And I had to go through when he would say something, you know, and it's always the simplest, smallest little things of obedience. It's never, you know, write a check for $1 million and hand it to so-and-so. It's always, go tell so-and-so I love them. Go offer a hand here and there. Turn right, turn left. He delights in the little simple things. And when you do the little simple things, the measure grows. The seed grows. And so, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Now that's a proverb, and proverbs are very important. It is a book of wisdom that will give you discernment and grow you spiritually to stand against any scheme of darkness. It'll teach you the ways of the kingdom. And so this one I love, because if you honor the Lord with your possessions, that means everything. And we have to come to the understanding that everything we have belongs to him. We steward it for his good pleasure, not ours. So therefore, there's no bondage attached to it or ownership of our own. If he says, give this away, you give it away. If he says, you know, move south, you move south. You don't just impulsively do it, though. You grow in relationship of understanding and knowing, and he will always give you the best for the situation. Now, you may not feel like it's the best if you're measuring in your carnal thinking. You know, there's been times he's told me to do strange things, and I'll just give you a quick example. I remember he told me one time, don't pull in this driveway. I had a trailer on the back of my, and I thought, don't pull in as I was pulling in. And I bottomed out the trailer. See, he does things to protect us sometimes. But if we're trying to figure it out in our natural mind, like why can't I pull in? Boom, it's too late. Sometimes he just knows. And if we can practice discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit, it'll grow and continue to grow, and it'll grow to the point of rulership. And so, precious treasure and oil are in the dwelling of the wise person, but a foolish man consumes them. Foolish man consumes them. How many times have I consumed things being foolish? You know, delayed gratification is it's almost like a two-edged sword. We really have to learn to develop the understanding of what's delay, when's delay, how do we know, and through obedience. And I know some of you are like, what is she talking about? Somebody in here knows what I'm talking about. So, okay, we'll go. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But for the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I love this scripture. That's Matthew 25:29. I love that because, you know, it's like the parable of the talents. He gave 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to 1. And he knows our hearts. And he's not like, aha, I'm only giving you 1 because I know you. He's encouraging us to be fruitful, to be wise stewards, and to learn to trust and listen and obey. And then there's multiplication. And somehow, sometimes people get into, well, I'm just going to, you know, sow the seed and believe God, but there's no relationship of the instructions behind sowing the seed. You know, sometimes people imitate, well, I heard so-and-so sowed a seed and got a house, so I'm going to sow a seed and get a house. But what is God saying to us over this particular situation? He has the answers to unlock the bondage that you're in. And he's waiting for us to come to him as small children and say, Papa, I don't know what to do. I really screwed this thing up. I want help, but I don't even know how to ask for help. Will you help me? Ask for help. Now, if somebody came up to you and said that, what would you do? You wouldn't slap them, you wouldn't give them a stone, you wouldn't give them a snake. You'd say, come on, let's come and reason together. Let's figure this out. And that is how God operates. So if you have not been faithful with the unrighteous money, who will trust you with what is genuine? I love that one. You know, unrighteous money has to do with ownership. Doing it for your own pleasure, doing it because you want gain, doing it for what you think, protecting, you know, it's kind of like rust and moths. It's gonna burn up. But if we can understand that we get to steward and be rulers over the resources in earth, there will be abundance. And it's not for our good pleasure, although we'll benefit. It's for his good pleasure because he cares about the people. He cares about his kids. Now this one, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has described in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, and we often use this in sowing seeds, currency, but I'm taking this a little further, and what about love? What about kindness? What about mercy, compassion? What about food? What about resources that God has called us to steward? It's about him and his glory. So, you know, I've spent hours praying into this, and this is going way faster than it was when I was with him, but that's good. So here's the thing. I'm challenging us tonight to think about ownership. Think about if there's anything in your life right now that you have ownership over. And how do you know the difference? Do you have a burden? Are you carrying a burden tonight? I'm going to give you a scripture. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So how do we recognize if we're carrying a burden? I'm going to give you a couple clues, and if you have some, shout them out. When you're looking at a pile of bills and feeling frustrated, you've taken on ownership. When you're looking at the scale or how many steps you did or didn't take, you're taking ownership. When you're looking at your kids and their faults and the dreams you had for them and you're feeling a burden, you've taken on ownership. Ownership in the natural realm is slave mentality to the natural realm. It's the counterfeit of being a slave for Jesus Christ. It's designed to keep us in bondage. How do you know or measure it? You guys want to know? Colossians. I can't read the number. I think it's 323. Okay. Work. Did you hear me? Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So it's called co-laboring with Christ. And I could give you examples of this. You know, oftentimes people will do something, ministry, and they'll be like, I'm doing it for Jesus Christ, but he's not even in the house. It's like they've pushed past, you know, of the will of the Lord, and all in the name of saving souls. But are they really saving souls, or are they building their own empire? And I'm just throwing that out there. You know, what's that? Oh, amen. So, I can tell you, when the enemy wants to put burdens on our backs. That's his job. And I know there's people in here who have some burdens, and you're like, I didn't even know that's what it was, but I see it now. That's a burden. You know, do you have bills? Are they stacking up? Are they causing you anxiety and stress? Well, let's come out from underneath that burden, and let's lay that burden down. You know, Jesus talks about my yoke is light. You know, I'm going to read you that scripture if I can find it in here. Ooh, it's on the last page. Oh, boy. I'm going to go back because I want to finish this, okay? You'll have to wait on that. What? Yeah, I know, but I don't want to skip through half this other part. So, we need to co-labor with Christ. Here's a key. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, and this is Matthew 5. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do this this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. This is Jesus speaking. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So, once we recognize that we're carrying a burden, I know there's a few people in here who are struggling. You got kids, and you're like, you know, I taught them, but they're still, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Be careful of judgment. Be careful of judgment, because when you place judgment, even though you think you know best, God knows best. And his ways are not your ways. And if you've trained them up, release them and let the Father have his way in their heart. Stop trying to co-manage or take ownership of what Jesus is doing. There's a fine line between ruling and reigning and taking the reins from Jesus and ruling. And sometimes we call that all in the name of intercessory prayer or whatever, but truthfully, we have to examine our hearts. And if we don't have peace, chances are we've owned something that does not belong to us. And we need to release it back into the kingdom, back to the Father, back to the cross. And we've talked about this a lot, where we exchange, we make the great exchange, where we lay our burdens down and say, Lord, I'm sorry I was being the king. You're the king. I'm just the steward. And I'm going to release these burdens to you. I see this pile of debt. And you know what? I'm giving this to you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, but I'm not carrying the stress of this anymore. I just see the Lord doing some work, so I'm just going to shut up for a minute. You know, the enemy's job is to keep us busy and preoccupied with our stuff. Listen, let go of the stuff. Let go of the dreams. Even if you felt like he gave you those dreams, let it go and go back to him. Go back to the beginning. Because somewhere, somehow, an inroad happened, and it's not your fault. That's the job of the enemy. But to get course correction, we have to go back to the Father. We have to go back to the beginning. And sometimes it's like, I like to remember the day I met Jesus. You know, that brings me so much joy and happiness and victory, because I remember the day that I got translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. I'll never forget that day. It was life without the veil of heaviness and darkness. Now, was there a trail of destruction? Yeah, absolutely. But isn't God good enough to show us what we need to cut off and what we need to speak and where we need to go and where we need to stop going and when we need to stop looking at certain things? You can't think of two things at one time. And if you're struggling with sin or addiction, put your gaze on Jesus and what his word says. Sanctify your mind. Repent of your evilness, because that's evil work. Repent of it. And ask him for his help. Ask him for his grace to make your path straight in him. And you might have to ask him more than one time, and that's okay. You can ask him and ask him and ask him and ask him. I can't believe he's going to make me say this. Yeah. Sometimes you got to go with the blood of Jesus over that. I'll never forget, years ago, Edgar was preaching one night, and he shared a testimony of a man that came up to him that was struggling with masturbation. He said, I don't want to do this anymore. And Edgar prayed for him and said, worship Jesus. Anytime you get the impulse, anytime you get the urge, just start speaking out loud and worship Jesus. Tell him how good he is. And that guy got set free. If you're struggling from sin, no sin is too great. Now, don't beat yourself up, but come out. Be separated from that. Some of you are hanging in some places that are dark and crusty, and you smell like you've been in those places, and you dress yourself up and look all pretty when you come to church or to work or wherever you go. But did you know there's a stench in the spirit that follows you? God wants you to smell like him. And how do you smell like him? You hang with him. And how do you hang with him? You get the word of God. And you put it in front of you. And you start speaking it. You start thinking upon it. Psalm 91 is a key. Psalm 91 is a powerful launching key that will help you grow in understanding and wisdom and peace and discernment. It is a place in the Spirit that you can go. Psalm 91 is for today. Labor to enter his rest. This is Hebrews. Many of us labor to get the house painted or the dishes washed or the kids off to school. And you can do that, but there's a way to do it in peace and not in a hurried state. And there's it's called course corrections. You know, we get so programmed in the natural to be natural beings, but really we're supernatural beings that are on the earth just for a time, a mist, a season. It's going to go quick. It's like a vapor. And we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." And I'm calling on his grace today to help me overcome the obstacles of my flesh, the wrong thinking that I still have. And I'm calling on his victory to go before me, to come behind me, and be on my right and my left. So there is a labor to enter his rest. So there is a special rest still waiting for God's people. So there's a rest waiting for us. I love that. For all of us who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. So, you know, God created the world and then rested. There's like, ponder on that for some, you know, meditate into that. He created systems that we're to rule and reign in a rested state and place in him. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Now, I love this because the word of God has the ability to read us and to show us the issues of our heart that we don't even see. There's no other mirror that can do that. That's powerful. And that's why it's important to stay in the Word, eat the Word, read the Word, feed the Word, speak the Word. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. There's the key. That is the key. So there's nothing he doesn't know about us. You can hide, you can dress up, you can pretend, but there's nothing he doesn't know about us. And that's a good thing, because he's encouraging us, because he overcame the world, and he wants us to rule and reign and overcome the issues of the flesh, be translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and rule and reign in the earth as he does. Remember when he said, "I only do what I see my Father doing"? That is a picture for us as well. And it's not like sometime. It's any time. For those whoever want to sit down, you can close your eyes and meditate into God's goodness and walk in victory. And he will show you the path of the straight path, whether it be crooked thinking or trickery or wickedness or witchcraft. He will show you the straight path and lead you and guide you into all truth. But there's this thing called delayed gratification. Sometimes we get tired and want to just go flesh out and give up. I'm going to challenge you, because your victory is this close if you faint not. And when you faint not, when you push through the barricades or the enemy schemes or the trips or the tracks or your flesh, there is a place in the Spirit that is so wonderful that the joy of the Lord just drips off you. and it resonates into the earth and his people. And salvations come, and healings come, and wisdom. Take his yoke. Take his yoke, because his burden is light. How do you transform your mind? To come into his truth and focus on his promises? Romans 12:2. This is the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will is not to punish. God's will is not to torment. God's will is not to hold back. You think of the prodigal son. That son had an inheritance, and he wanted it too soon. And the father gave it to him. And what did he do? He went out and, you know, just basically blew it on whatever he wanted. He did not understand delayed gratification and discipline of the muscle, the spiritual muscle. And so what happened was he spent it all, and now he's living with the pigs, stinking, and realizing, man, I had it better off where I was. See, he fell into deception. The enemy tricked him and dragged him into bondage. You got a drinking problem? You in deception? You been tricked by the enemy? You smelling? Go back to the Father. Realize that you blew it. Don't wait for someone to come save you. Call out to him tonight. I'm a sinner. I'm a mess. Save me, Jesus. Help me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't know how to change, but I know you'll help me. I'm trusting you tonight. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you faint not. And if you feel like you're fainting, Jesus talked about, he went through it all too. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm tired. I'm beat up. I'm wore out. I don't know what I did wrong, but I need to be washed in your presence. I need to be renewed in the promises. Help me to read the word again. Help me to worship you again. Help me to take my eyes off my problem and put it back on you, because you are marvelous. There's no one like you, and I know that. And so we have to come out of our self-talk of doubt and lack and misunderstanding and speak the word into the earth and watch how the situations start to turn. Will it happen overnight? I don't know. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. But they talk about the ship. Remember the ship? You know, your tongue, it slowly moves the boat, the big rudder. Sometimes we're like, I don't want to wait that long. I've done this, but I'm not seeing any movement. Well, can you see on the other side? Because that's where your victory is. Use your faith muscle to grow your faith and see the promises of God, because they're good. And the enemy's like, oh, focus on this, focus on that. Listen, there are things you can do to release yourself from captivity. Do you have a pile of debt? Lay your hands on it, release it to the Lord, and ask him to help you steward the resources. And not for your own gain or to get out of debt, but just to be a good steward for the kingdom. When you change your focus and your gaze and put it on him and not on that, you watch what happens. He takes care of that stuff when you stay on with him. He just does it. And then you go, I don't even know how that happened. I have no idea how that bill got paid. But thank you, Jesus. See, we don't own it. We don't let it be like a chain with an anchor dragging the joy out of us, because that's not who we are. You walk in resurrection power if you choose to. You walk in poverty if you choose to. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Choose life. Your situation, some of you are struggling, I don't mean to dwell here, but I'm going where the Lord is. Some of you are struggling with addiction. and you've justified, and you've tried, and you've done programs, and you've sworn off certain things, and you still are in the end result where you pick it up again. And then you beat yourself up because you're like, man, I thought I got it this time. Listen, it's no different than that same spirit that was causing that man to masturbate. It's the same foul devil, it's just a different spirit. And what's the key? Worship the King. Take your mind off of the junk and worship the King. You can discipline your mind through the Holy Ghost to be steadfast and on track with what he's saying. When those urges come, exercise discipline and speak the word over it instead of acting out the act. Because when you act out the act, whatever the act is, it always brings shame, it always brings bondage and hopelessness. And haven't you had enough of trying it your way? Now, we're going to do something that we normally don't do. Well, once in a while we do. But could you guys play a little bit of music in a little bit? Cue something soft up. And I'm just telling you, this is an opportunity tonight. When I was in the back, I was seeing people releasing these burdens, and I actually saw the enemy really ticked. And because, you know, God was giving keys tonight, and people were like, you know what, I'm fed up, I'm tired of this, you're right, it's not working. And maybe you've tried it once, tried it again, and tried it again, and you're still failing. Listen, God's mercies are new every day. His promises are yes and amen. And what if tonight is the night for your breakthrough? And your freedom, and your deliverance. You know, oftentimes, well, who needs a healing in here? You know, nobody. You know, really? I need a healing. I'll take it, Lord. You know, listen, God is always giving his best. I always take his best. I don't even know what it is half the time, but I want whatever God has. If God's releasing, wouldn't you want? And so I'm not like giving you the pep talk. I'm just trying to wake the slumber of, well, you know, next week I'll do it. What happens if next week you're called home? Hallelujah. Well done, good and faithful servant, or calling on your grace. Calling on the grace. I don't know. I'm just saying, don't waste an opportunity with the Lord. To meet with the Lord. And I don't know what he's going to do, but here's the thing. If you've got a burden and you want to get rid of it, I want you to do a public. Sometimes when we do public, people are like, I don't like public. I like, can I just me and God by myself in the back corner? How's it working for you so far? You know, did that work when you did it, or are you still in bondage? Because if you're still in bondage, try something new. If you're struggling and you want freedom, now I can't give you freedom, but I know the one who can. I met him. And he's offering freedom tonight for whosoever will choose. And if you're struggling in any area, and I don't need to know the area, but you do, and you know the area, and if you don't know the area, ask the Holy Spirit, is there something that I can get free from tonight? I want to get free. If that's you, I want you to come up. And I want you to just meet with Jesus tonight, up here in front, however you choose, and have a conversation with him. And we're not going to listen. We're going to put music on. And I want you to just say, you know what? However the Holy Spirit leads you. I've been struggling with this stupid whatever, and I can't get free from it. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I want freedom. And you know what? I'm going to believe you. That you have this, and I'm releasing it into you. I'm done trying to steward it. I'm done trying to manipulate it. I'm done trying to own it. I am asking for freedom from this tonight. And if that's you, come up. And if it's not, hallelujah. If you just want to pray in your seat and intercede or just rest in the presence, feel free. And then after we're done with this, we're going to shift a little bit. So don't leave. Amen? So we were never meant to carry the burdens alone. We were never meant to carry burdens. If you look, can you put the other one up, please? If you look at that picture, they are equally yoked. One doesn't pull and drag the other one. One doesn't run to the left or to the right. If you can see that they're balanced, one's a little heavier, so there's a little more balance to the actual wooden structure on that, but they are equally yoked, and that is what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to stay in with him in such a place where if we start to move ahead, we feel the drag or the pull to stay in step with him. If we get a little too tired and maybe we start to drag behind, he is with us to help us stay in step. And I like that. Would they call those oxens, or what do they call them? Oxen? You know, you look at them, and they can carry a heavy load, can't they? You know, they were designed. And Jesus used that parable because in the day they used those often, and now we're like, what's a yoke? It's an egg. No, it's not. and so oftentimes you'll see them tied also together. And when you see them tied, I like to look at that as, you know, like the Holy Ghost just, you know, dragging along. That would be my own interpretation of that, so don't take that. But really, we're designed to be in step with him. And when we are, it doesn't matter what happens, because we'll be able to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And see, it isn't about us. It's not about our deal. It's not about our problems or what happened to us when we were little or what happened to us when we were married and divorced or what happened to us when, you know, trauma or tragedy came. And all those, I'm not disrespecting, but I'm saying don't let that stuff own you. Let the King of Kings own you. Get translated from the situation that's holding you back and get mad at the devil because he's been lying to you. God's not lying to you. He is your Savior. He is the one and only. He you know, you're the apple of his eye. And so if you've been raised with like maybe some abuse or bad parenting or something, I'm going to challenge you to open up the Word and see what God says about himself. And then start to realize how good he really is, because he can help you overcome any situation. But it all starts with spending time in him and his word and getting a framework of his truth. Who doesn't need truth? I need it. I want it. I want his truth. I also want his correction, and I want his direction. I'm not here to do the pleasures of Lori. I did that. I remember the broken plastic that I lived in. I don't ever want to live that way again. I got translated out of that stuff, and I'm never going back. He's real. He's alive, and he's desiring relationship and fellowship and rulership, stewardship, rulership. So I'm praying, I prayed that you made the exchange and left your burdens there. And I pray you feel the difference. And if you don't feel the difference, don't worry about it. Let the Word of God sink in you, and it'll transform your life. And you'll look back on this night and go, you know, I can't remember. I had $50,000 in debt, and somehow in the course of the 6 months, God just brought me out of that, and I don't even know how he did it. And see, when you're so caught up in him and doing what he wants with him, you don't care about that stuff, and he just takes care of it for you. And I don't want to minimize, because I know there's people in here struggling, but I'm going to tell you something. His way's better. It's always better. Is it painful? Yeah, sometimes it is a little painful. As you go through trials, yeah, absolutely. But you know what? There's always victory if you faint not. I'm all in for fainting not. I did enough fainting over my days in my old life, and I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to cross over into paradise, and I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I want. This life really has no hold on me. It did, but then I learned about God and his truth, and how alive he is, and desires for us to walk in him, and be in him, and fellowship with him, and hang out with him, this side of heaven, this side of paradise. We were created for his good pleasure. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? I mean, think on that. You got trouble? You're looking for a place to live? You were created for his good pleasure. Focus on his goodness. Focus on him and watch what happens. You'll stop looking at the weeds and you'll start recognizing the flowers and the aroma all around you. Because you know what? Where you look is where you go. And I'm going with him. I've made a decision. And that's the other thing. You got to make a decision in your gut. Because sometimes it's tough. And sometimes you do got to call a friend for prayer. I'm not minimizing. But I'm saying don't stay where you're at. Contend for the victory in Him with the Holy Ghost. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God Worldwide.com.